This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here you go. Bringing them back to the days, getting ready for Steelers, Ravens, Willie Colon in the locker room. Listening to this, getting ready to try to block Haloti Ngata.
Yeah.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live.
Crying.
Four times studio. That guy was a beast, huh?
He's a dog. All dog.
He's a Ring of Honor guy for the Steelers. I mean, the Ravens.
Sure,
I think he is. Yeah.
I know he's up for the Hall of Fame. I know he's a candidate.
Next year?
I think he's already up. I think he's already on the list. I don't think he has got the nod yet.
Were you surprised Eli didn't make it in first ballot?
I had this argument with my buddy about Drew Brees. He was like, Drew Brees should definitely go ahead of Eli Manning. I was like, Eli? I think Eli should get the nod over Drew Brees.
I think both are first ballot Hall of Famers,
right,
in my opinion. I mean, I know that Eli had some really mediocre years surrounded by, you know, those great Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVPs, but... I mean, the way he played, there are so many fan bases.
Eli in
out
the playoffs
there.
Was money good.
Right. And it wasn't just the Super Bowls. It was like throughout the playoffs.
Yep.
There's so many fan bases that would love to have one of those runs, much less two of those runs. And I think actually if he had done it for a team that had never won a Super Bowl before, exactly what he did for the Giants, he would have gotten in first ballot. But the fact that the Giants had the history of Lombardis and
right.
that it's just different.
I mean, the one game that will forever be in my head is Eli in Green Bay in the snow.
Oh, my God.
How good he was.
And you're talking about the first one,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
With Cruz and I think Hicks and all those guys. Like, it was that game, for me, that's why I was like, yeah, this guy's going to Hall of Fame. And Valley, he beat the Pats, and I get all that. But that game, it's like, you know, I think to every superstar player, there's that one standalone game. For me, that was that game.
Yeah. You know, now that I think about it, this is I don't know if anybody said this before, but if Eli Manning did the same thing for the Jets that he did for the Giants, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Facts.
Yeah. I like that
Facts.
Take. Yeah, too bad it's like a week late. But anyway. So did you see, I couldn't believe this. So Al put on our show sheet, he goes, for some reason, the Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin bullying story is back in the news.
Why?
So I found out why.
I know Rich. Rich is a good guy.
Yeah, Incognito, yeah.
Yeah.
So how
not
about,
very stable, but good guy.
Yeah. How about this Jonathan Martin comes out just recently, like 2 days ago, in the Miami Herald or something, and comes out and says every single bit of what he said was a lie. All of
Stop
it.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
Al?
Every... He said every bit of it was a lie, no?
I did see this as well, but in reading the story, there are...
He gave testimonies about how he was treated in the room with Mike Pouncey and Richie Incognito, yeah, to the point, I remember when it was going down, guys around the league, especially guys who I grew, like, you know, my generation, it was kind of like you were hard on the young guys, right? It was a process in how you treated guys, especially dealing with rookie dinners. And, you know, we had our rookies do a lot of different things, right? And they just had to take it because that was tradition. And then once this story came out, all of that was pushed out the door, and it was hands off all the young guys that came through the door solely because of this one incident.
Yeah, no, he came out, said that he had his own personal issues that he was dealing with, and he had to step away from the team, and he was too embarrassed to talk about it. So he made it seem like it was other people that were doing it to him because he didn't want to deal with his own demons.
I remember talking to Mike Pouncey and those guys, especially Richie, because I remember when he got suspended, randomly I was in Arizona. I was at the W in Arizona, and he popped out of nowhere. And I remember talking to him about the incident. He goes, everything I did was no different from what I've always done. And I knew kind of the instances that we talked about, just making sure a young guy just had his rite of passage or whatever that meant. And then I remember kind of having those sit downs with folks and talking about the culture and how you brought young guys up. You know, as long as you weren't putting your hands on guys, you know what I mean? Things like that. Being hard on guys, being snarky, like all that stuff got thrown out the window solely because of that one incident. So to hear that it was all false is brutal, man. It's like, that's horrible. Because that cost Richie, that cost him his career almost.
But yeah,
some of the articles I was reading about this and why it came back up and what Martin is saying, they do have, from when this all went down, there were text messages between the two, which were, you couldn't even possibly attempt to read them. And they were that crazy,
right,
from Richie Incognito to Jonathan Martin. So I don't know if those were not considered the bullying
situation.
So were
they true or?
Well, they were just like crazy.
Egregious messages. Type stuff.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, yeah, Martin's recent admission to ESPN that he lied about being bullied by his Miami Dolphins teammate in a saga that's infamously known as Bullygate. So, and then it says in this Miami Herald article from Richie Incognito, it took him 10 years to tell the truth, Richie Incognito wrote to me in a private exchange. The rest of our conversation remained private because Incognito, who was painted as Martin's abuser by the Ted Wells report, wants no part of this story. So he says he wants no part of the story, but then I started looking at his X account, Richie Incognito. He's now a part of the story once again as he is firing off all sorts of posts about this. And I don't blame him, quite honestly.
I mean, he became the face of bullying.
Oh, right, exactly.
Like rookie dinners and rookies doing like the old... Remember, I don't know if you remember Hard Knocks. They would have the rookie show, right, at the end of training camp. All those things kind of fell by the wayside because it was seen as a form of hazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't... None of those things are really technically allowed.
So, it goes, notable excerpt from the story about former Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin. This is from an Adam Schefter post. And it says, quote, I never believed for a second I was being bullied, Martin says now. He wants the world to forget the only thing it remembers about him. It's a story, he says, that I've been trying to fix for 10 years. And Richie Incognito responds that he goes... Notable excerpt tried to ruin my life over this BS.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, he's going off in all the comments and everything else. So,
I mean, they tried to blacklist Richie. I mean,
didn't he hit a car with a baseball bat?
Yeah,
after that?
Yeah.
And he like lost his mind because of this whole thing.
He's got his demons.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I just remembered that popped in my head. It was like a nice car, too, wasn't it? Like a Porsche.
But hearing that sounds like Jonathan just doesn't want to be known for bullying. So it's almost like, well, it didn't happen, so no story. You know what I mean? That's how I kind of just took it the way you read it.
Well, but he said, I never thought at any point I was being bullied.
Right, but then you go on to say that he's trying to erase, you know, he's been trying to clean up the story for the last 10 years.
Is it more like... him believing that the word, that he wasn't being bullied and that the media took that word bullied and he was just talking about how he was being hazed as a rookie and it affected him or something like that? I mean, I don't know. Let's see. Big Hurls is texting me some information on this. He goes, his mother was behind a lot of the accusations and he blames her for the bullying word being used. And there's a voicemail from Incognito Martin that the dad still has saying some nasty stuff. So what it sounds like is there was something going on there, just like in many NFL locker rooms,
right,
it probably was.
And the language relationships, context matters.
Right, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Because I've had older guys say a lot of things to me, but I also didn't go home and be like, man, that guy hates me.
Yeah,
you know, this guy who's been playing 8 or 10 years in the league, and there's a, you know, if I was ever out of line on not doing thing that's up to par, he probably spoke to me in a way that needed me to get on par. You know what I mean? So,
well, Richie Incognito feels like he is vindicated at this point, at least from the stuff that he's been posting. So, and I'm sure, I mean, like, listen, everybody who's played football on any level has been through that stuff, right or wrong. I mean, I played 5 years, one in middle school, four in high school, and I stunk. But and I had friends, we would mess around with our friends all the time with things. And sometimes it would go too far, you would think. It never got to a point where it was like anybody felt like any criminal behavior was going on. And sometimes you see that with high schools, and that's a problem, but it doesn't sound like this was criminal behavior.
Yeah, as long as you're not putting hands on another man.
Yeah.
I remember my rookie year in Pittsburgh, right, in training camp. I was forced to, every morning, to go get glazed donuts and 2 gallons of milk. By the way, I didn't know how to drive. I didn't have a driver's license.
Oh.
And that was Alan Faneca giving me those orders. And he was like, hey, man, we need 12 donuts in here, and we need a gallon of milk. And it better be here. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to figure this out? And I would literally get up an hour before we have to be, I'm probably like 8:15 meetings. I would get up at 6 in the morning and like knock on people's doors like, hey, man, I need to ride up the road. And dudes would be like, man, get out of here. And guys would shut their door in my face and be like, I'm not driving you up the road because you don't know how to drive, because you're a New Yorker, you know, because yeah, I was right. A kid from the Bronx who only took right. Public transportation. And they would be like, figure it out. And I would, every morning. And
this was in Latrobe?
Latrobe.
Yeah, St. Vincent's, yeah.
Rookie, by the way, just trying to hold on for dear life for my own sanity.
Right, and there's not exactly like, you know, 10 donut shops in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
There in Latrobe.
Yeah. And some places would open, some places wouldn't. And I would have to like bargain or hustle with guys. Like, hey, man, just take me up the road, man. I don't want to get in trouble with AFAN. You know, I don't want to get in trouble with the older guys. And made it work. But I also didn't call home and be like, Mom, they hate me here. You know what I mean? Like, I was just, it just was, in my eyes, it was what it was. Figure it out, get it done. And after a while, by week 3 into training camp, the requests were no longer. Like, yeah. You're good today, kid. Don't worry about that.
And the worst thing you can do in that spot is to, like, fire back, and then they're going to hate you.
Yeah, but, you know? but to your point, once this story came out, a lot of those type of things you couldn't do. And you were told from their head coach, you were told from people in the building, like, we don't want this to become this type of thing. We don't want this story to become this. So all those things got wiped off the table.
Yeah. And it also says Richie Incognito will never do an interview about Bullygate. He won't participate in any of the documentaries.
How does he win? He can never talk about that again.
Yeah. But he's doing it now, though. He's going after some people. I think he's feeling every day that goes by and like seeing the headlines and stuff.
It was Ed Water report. I mean, they dragged Richie from east to west. It wasn't good for him.
No. Well, I mean,
like, he had to kind of go into hiding for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he became, without a doubt, the face of bullying everywhere. And then also, the video of him ripping the helmet off that one time prior to that, like people just played that over and over again.
He definitely, me and him come from the same tribe when it came to play. We both played with a short wick. I understood a lot of his antics.
So did you understand Myles Garrett when he hit Mason Rudolph over the head with the helmet?
I mean, I understand why the Pouncies and my guys jumped on him afterwards. Yeah. I understood that.
Right. Yeah. Oof. That was a tough one.
It's a bad image.
That's not good.
It looked like somebody forgot to take their meds that morning. It looked crazy.
My God. Yeah, he was. Yeah. He had lost it at that point. Marquise Pouncey, Hall of Famer?
100%.
Yeah.
One of the best football players I ever played with. Hands down.
I think he's up next year.
I think him and Castro both got their names are thrown in there.
Okay.
Yeah. To my knowledge.
David DeCastro?
Mm-hmm.
Stanford guy?
Yeah. Super smart.
Went to a Penguin game with him and his wife and me and my wife once.
Double date?
Yeah. Well, actually, it turned into a double date. It was like one of these things where it was like that suite that they have down below where the players come out. So we were there for something else, and then all of a sudden we like hit it off, and then the four of us were hanging out.
Not a big talker.
No, it was tough to get anything out of him. Now that you say that, it was impossible.
I remember.
It was just like, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did something really dumb. When he was a rookie, when I was at Pittsburgh, they were having Roberto Clemente night, and so the Pirates invited me over, and they had this thing. I'm like, oh, Castro, you're Spanish, right? Like, come over, right? He's like, really? I was raised in South Africa. I was like, okay, that's not what I expected. I thought Castro, just kind of put the whole thing together. Castro Cologne sounds very Spanish, right?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I'm the...
No, sorry.
Yes. My mom's a scientist. I was like, well, there goes that bridge.
We'll try again. Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah, I mean, definitely very, very quiet guy. Marquise Pouncey, on the other hand, not.
Love him.
He was going in that locker room, he was loud and he was funny.
Really him fun. And his brother, I love them. Love them both. Especially
Mike.
Mike was great. Marquise is just as great. Both guys.
Yeah. So will you like text Richie Incognito about this story because you know
him? I will. I'm gonna tap in because I'm interested to see how did he get here, and yeah. I'm pretty sure he's gonna go on a media parade. Like I told you.
I mean, according to this story, he's not. But now I'm seeing on X that he's just posting stuff over and over and over again. So I'm thinking he's probably feeling different about it, especially when he sees guys like Adam Schefter put, you know, a notable excerpt, you know, where that pisses him off, where he's like, wait a second. I mean, for months and months and months, all you tried to do was crap on me.
I mean, definitely was a stain on his career. When you think about Richie Incognito, you think about this incident, this moment. Yeah. So there's no way around it. I think, like you said, he became the face of bullying and all these other stories, and people started come out and talking about their testimonies and their time in locker rooms, either in the high school or college and NFL ranks. And so it definitely became, you know, he became the face of, you know, hazing.
So Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio said, one last thing, Jonathan Martin saying 12 years later that he never felt bullied is very different from saying everything that happened didn't happen and I made it all up. And Richie Incognito quote tweeted that and said, you tried to ruin my career over a lie. A decade later, Jonathan Martin admits he was never bullied. His mother pushed the narrative of bullying to the media. Jonathan Martin never believed in the stance his camp was taking during the Ted Wells investigation. The NFL and the media ran with a false narrative, ruined careers, and moved on.
Mm.
So I think that pretty much sums up where Richie Incognito is coming from.
Right.
At that point.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Did you actually like this song when it was played?
It was cool in the moment. Yeah. It was live. Yeah, I didn't want to hear it going through Walmart. But while in the stadium when we needed it, it was great. Right. Yes.
I always felt like there was a period where something would always happen after Renegade. I felt like during like the Troy Polamalu years there in the beginning, I felt like they'd play that song.
We played the Bengals one time. I think we're down 2 touchdowns, and we played this song. And we end up getting like an interception, and Clark Higgins ended up getting like a strap, or like a sack strip, or six. I can't say the word, but end up getting a fumble pretty much. Yeah. And came back right after the song. So it always had like this magical appeal to it. So.
Yeah, it definitely did for the fans. They're still doing it. Yeah. Think Mike Tomlin, his time there is done?
I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I hope not. I just don't know. I don't know who you turn to. They've only had 3 head coaches in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I know. I mean, obviously he's staying there this year because the hiring cycle is done, but it just feels like it might
or somebody
be time.
That covered the Steelers for 8 years. How do you think it's time?
I kind of do. I feel like it'd be good for both.
Mm.
I think that he could be refreshed somewhere, and I think the organization could be refreshed. But it can't be like some hot coordinator guy like Liam Cohen. That can't be it. It's got to be, you know, somebody with his type of personality. But I
think he's 101. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's, like people judge Mike Tomlin's success. Or lack thereof, especially in the playoffs. But people forget Bill Cowher didn't win till late in his career.
No, I know.
He had some tough years before he became the Bill Cowher.
But now Mike Tomlin's been there longer than Bill, and it's been a long time since they won a playoff game. And that's the tough thing.
I mean, the Russ move a lot of people didn't like, right? And Russ was cooking for a while till just wasn't cooking anymore. So, and he got applauded for that. And the team responded, and the defense played well, and the offense looked like it had a jolt of energy. And the thing, I mean, how they got beat up against Baltimore was not good. But there was a lot of issues to that. So, I don't know. I like Mike Tomlin. I don't see how you can replace him. I don't think it's necessarily – I just don't feel like it's time to make that type of move.
Yeah.
I think in the world of Pittsburgh, that's a catastrophic move to make.
I feel like there's more fans out there that want to see it happen than not right now that are Steelers fans. I think they're just tired of it. Yeah.
I think it's a bad loss. You know, if they lose to Baltimore on a – last-minute field goal, I think that tempers emotions. But it's the way they lost and how bad that defense looked in that game.
Yeah, and you see some franchises, like look at the Eagles. I mean, they fired Doug Peterson and got another coach, and then that guy ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
yeah, but I hate that comparison. Like, everybody wants to compare somebody to the next franchise and look at their success. Like, not every, you know, it's not apples to apples. It doesn't always work that way.
No, it doesn't. And obviously Mike Tomlin's a better coach than Doug Peterson. But, you know,
they still had a quarterback in line, right? You know, so that, like,
well,
still
Jalen Hurts was a second round pick, though. It's not like he was a top 2 or 3 pick.
Yeah, but he was a ball player. You know what I mean? So it all works. Scheme, players, all that matters. Like, Steelers don't have a quarterback right now.
No, they do not. And Russell Wilson is a guy. I wish you spent time in a locker room with Russell Wilson. It's like I have strong Russell Wilson locker room takes that I just that I've never been in there with him. You just hear teammates and the things that people say.
I've heard nothing but positive things about him. I heard he's just uber positive. He's
not one of the guys. You know what I'm saying?
But what does that necessarily mean?
That means that he's a phony, corny person who can't have the same conversations that me and you have with Russell Wilson.
But that doesn't mean he's not worthy of having a place in the locker room.
I'm not saying that. I just think that it's him, and he probably doesn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah, I just think just because a guy doesn't, you know, play spades and pop beers doesn't make him not a part of the tribe.
Yeah, but when you're the quarterback, you got to be the man. I mean, you and Ben were close, right?
Yeah.
You and Russ would not be close.
I think because of my personality, in my presence, I would know how to bring him in. Yeah. Would we be going to cheerleaders on a Thursday night, popping wings? No. We probably wouldn't be there. But I would know how to bring them in. You know what I mean? Like certain locker rooms, that's the point of having an older locker room. Because you grow up or you have enough range within your own life span that you know how to say some guys are for certain situations to make them feel like they're part of the tribe. And some guys you don't invite to.
What was that other strip club in Pittsburgh?
Oh, Blush.
Blush. That's
oh man.
That came back. That came right to you. Oh, very quick, God. There, Willie.
Yeah, I had stories upstairs.
Oh my God, I remember that. Like the first, I remember when I went out there the first time to like meet the people I was potentially going to work with. You know,
Blush.
One of the guys, yeah, was like, we should go to Blush.
He had orientation at Blush.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I remember this woman turned around and bent over, and I felt like I was looking right through the Fort Pitt.
Yes, yes.
I said, woof. Man, oh man.
What a fish.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it was happens. A rough one. Yeah, that place.
I love Pittsburgh.
Clearly.
It's the best damn city in the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We shared similar experiences to a certain degree. Like, we probably went to the same bars and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I lived in the South Side for like 3 years in my 20s. Come on.
Yeah, but you didn't go to arts.
No, I didn't do that.
Right. That's where the black people hung out.
Yeah, I didn't go there. I did go to that club that just changed its name. Oh, Diesel. I went to Diesel a lot.
Oh, yeah.
TJ the DJ. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
That guy's still kicking.
Still spinning.
He's like 65 now.
Still playing Uncle Luke.
All right, CeeLo. Hey, wait, hold on. If Gio rolled up into arts, how would that go?
I wouldn't.
He wouldn't. One, because, you know, they would have, like, first of all, it's no security. And it's a horseshoe bar, and it's really small, right? And they pour you drinks about this size, all liquor. There's no mixers. And they make the best patty melt wings possible. Casey Hampton used to go there on Fridays, have a back table, and would have a platter of chicken. And you were allowed to eat from his platter. You just can't touch the flats. That was his number. Just don't touch my flats. You got no issues. And the lady was this big woman. And she lifted her arms. It was like a cape, right? Oh, and God. She made the best patty melts. Her food was phenomenal. And she treated us like going to grandma's house. And that place would be packed. And everybody from after work would be in there. And you would spend an hour in there. And you would just spill out of that place. And then we would go over to Bossa Nova. And that's when I was like a little bit of the 35 and older crowd. That was like the older women who were single who had 9-to-5s. I go scoop me up a couple of those just so I could have a home cooked meal for the week. Go beat the Chargers on Sunday. I was living great.
A couple peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
Scoop me up a couple of those. End the night with. Yeah, yeah, like me going to arts would be like you going to a Penguins game.
I went to the first time. Ben took me to my, Roethlisberger took me to my first Penguin game. Nice. And the first person I met was Mario Lemieux. I didn't even know it.
Oh, you had no idea?
This guy was like 6'4", with icy blue eyes. Yeah. I was like, who the hell is that guy? He was like, that's Mario Lemieux. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you want to talk about an aura? That man has
He walked in with like this presence. He was like real stoic, and he was like, shook my hand, looked me in my eye. He's like, how you doing? I was like, all right, where's the chicken fingers, dude? Let's stop this meet and greet. Let's get right to it.
Yeah. Now he walk into a room, everyone stop.
And they did.
Yeah.
I just didn't know who he was.
Man, that's funny.
You ever go to a Ranger game with Mangold when you were with the Jets?
We did. We was on the Daily
Garden
News.
Vision.
We ended up on the front page. We got blasted.
Yeah. There you go.
We got stuck in the elevator prior to that. Mm. Yeah. Mangold was all over the glass. It was nuts. The only thing I knew about hockey, the puck was black. That was for the most part.
So you got stuck in the elevator?
Yeah,
at the
prior
Garden?
To that. Yeah,
oh, my God. We had a bunch of offensive linemen in there?
It was all of us. It was our rookie dinner. Ugh. And we all came from dinner, and then we got into this elevator and we got stuck. And I was fortunate enough to pry us out of it.
So you didn't even get like the fire department to come? You just...
Who needs the fire department? You got the offensive linemen.
Yeah, it was funny till it wasn't funny. And I started looking around everybody's face like, you know, the guys were like, we don't know if anybody's coming. And so I just kind of wedged my fingers in between there and popped it open.
And then you were close enough to a floor?
We were fine. We just able to walk out and got to our seats. And
I don't really like to have a night. It's stuck in an elevator situation.
No. Now with a bunch of drunk office linemen? Yeah.
A lot of weight in there.
That's what I'd be scared of, too. The thing would just drop to the floor.
We're all mouth breathers.
Mouth breathers. Perfect timing for that.
Right.
That's all right. You said semen earlier.
Yeah, I did. What was I trying to say?
I don't even remember.
Season. I was trying to say season.
Semen.
I said semen.
Yeah.
That happens to all of us.
Happens to the best of them.
Yeah. All right, CeeLo, what's going on over there?
All right, enough with the All-Star stuff. We did enough of that. And you do have Four Nations resuming tonight for the U.S., and you got Canada, Finland this afternoon as they shift to Boston. College basketball-wise, you did have St. John's over Creighton, 79-73, as the Johnnies get another win at the Garden, 22-4, 13-2 in Big East play, while Rutgers fell at Oregon last night, 75-57. All right, sticking with the college basketball theme, wanted to get to this. Notre Dame hoops. They were, you know, NCAA tournament regular for a while, but it's kind of gone the other direction the last 6 or 7 years, led to the end of the Mike Bray era and the start of the, I don't know if it's Micah or Micah, probably Micah Shrewsbury era. He came over from Penn State. So they lost to Louisville by 15 yesterday at home. They're not having a good year. They're 5-9 in ACC play. So a reporter asked Shrewsbury what the biggest issues are for them right now. And what started as a calm and quiet answer turned into a 2-minute and 40-second rant. And it was kind of a slow crescendo. Here's where it started.
If you hate me, absolutely, man. Great. If you think I suck, if you think I can't coach, I'm with you, man. Good. Good for you, because you're allowed to have opinions. If you think I should be fired, good for you. You're allowed to have opinions, right? A lot of people have given up on this team. They've given up on me. I don't really give a damn. I believe in myself, and I believe in these guys, okay? So, like, don't give up on these kids. If you don't want to show up because of me, don't show up because of me, because you think I suck. Cool. I'm okay with that.
Except he's kind of not. It's sort of a me and us against our fans at this point.
I know who I am. I know I can coach basketball. And I know I'm turning this program around. So you gave up on me already? I'm going to see you back here. I don't give a damn. Don't give up on these kids. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. So I sat there and watched more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me. Because I'm the head coach here. And yes. I got us in this predicament.
All right, so he's getting into the lather and then the big finish. And at the very end here, at least for me, major Denny Green vibes from back in the day.
Don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning. We're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. Care if you gave up on me or not.
Knocked over the mic and exited stage left.
What did he scream when he knocked over the mic? I don't care if you gave up on me or
not. We're going to get this thing rolling. Care if you gave up on me or not.
Don't care if you gave up on me or not. All I love right. At the beginning, don't come back when we're losing. I mean, when we're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it slipped there.
Yeah. Breaking point, man. You know?
No doubt.
Everybody hits it at some point. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked when Denny Green did it because that was my guy all those years.
Oh,
it was
so
cool,
so
calm,
good.
And collected. It just came out of nowhere for him. He never used to do stuff like
and
that.
And different. It had nothing to do with the fan. He wasn't ripping the fans or anything.
Right.
He was just frustrated that they blew a game. Yeah. Want to crown their ass.
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were.
We let him off the hook.
R.I.P. Denny Green.
Smack the podium. Yeah, absolutely. All right. I've waited till the very last segment here, Willie, because if I do this too early in the show, it puts Gio in a bad mood. Little baseball sound.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right.
Juan Soto on the scene in Port St. Lucie as the Mets get going with spring training. Magnitude of his record contract still hasn't quite sunk in.
Not yet. I'm still thinking about it and everything. It's just unbelievable.
Now, obviously, he's attracted to the team and the roster beyond just the money, but he did single out one guy who wasn't technically, officially back with the Mets until just recently.
I think Pete Alonso is one of the guys impress me more, but definitely we have a great group of guys in here. I mean, on paper, we have a really good team.
So he's a big Pete proponent, and he is on the field down there. I saw him this morning with Carlos Mendoza, so maybe we'll hear from him at some point. I don't think he's spoken yet. If he did, I missed it.
Same here. I don't know. I have not seen anything.
I know you're not about the cage swings here and the PFPs and everything. I mean, I get that, but it is, for at least for Alonso, since, you know,
that's something, because we never heard his side of the story.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
We had heard from Soto in the press conference, and seeing him in the uniform the first time is exciting, but I mean, then it ends.
Yes.
Then we got let's win some baseball games.
All right. Another thing I got to tread lightly on, but it is topical because of what's going on with Giancarlo Stanton's elbows, plural.
Mm.
Here was Aaron Boone yesterday going a little bit deeper on what the issue is, when it popped up, and kind of what they tend to do or going to plan to do about it.
Yeah, he was doing stuff, and then he kind of shut down and just been getting treatments and been getting treated here. So it's just something we don't want to rush. If we can get to a really good spot and know we're going to have to probably deal with some maintenance with it throughout the year, but just don't want to force anything too early.
All right, so already setting it up now for it could be a all year long problem. Now, Stanton is there and spoke this morning. He said it's been 3 to 4 weeks since he swung a bat, and he called the pain he's dealing with, quote, very high. So I don't know how this came to be. It was something from last year, but it's enough of a problem that he hasn't swung in almost a month, and he's got very high pain.
Yeah, I mean, I know we joke about him all the time, but it truly is amazing that he came up with an injury we couldn't even fathom.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Double.
I mean, we do this every year, and yeah, double. God. I mean, double elbows. It's crazy.
Tennis elbow. Yeah. Well, not the only injury issue they've got going in camp, as Boone revealed yesterday. His bench coach, Brad Ausmus, hurt himself.
Doing what?
Oh, here you go.
Pulled a hammy pretty bad yesterday in a pickup basketball game. Obviously, I advised him not to do that, understandably. But he wanted to take his 55-year-old act out there anyway, and so we're dealing with that a little bit as well.
Dealing with that a little bit. Of course, the reference to when he blew out his knee, which led to A-Rod and the trade and him coming to the Yankees. So kind of it all comes full circle. Also, with some of the guys he's bringing into spring training this year, specifically Roger Clemens, who I guess he reached out to and asked him to come, and he talked about how when he first came to the Yankees via trade, he didn't know what to expect with Clemens, called him one of the best teammates he ever had. Which I thought was pretty high praise, considering some of the, you know, outside perceptions of Clemens and his career.
But you never thought that he was a bad teammate.
Maybe not, no, not a bad teammate, but like he said, you know, I don't know what this guy's about, what they're throwing at people, and so you get the kind of look behind the curtain, and he vouched for him so much that he personally wanted to have him back around the team. So they've got some other names that are going to be new that haven't been around, like Mike Mussina, Alfonso Soriano, Robinson Cano is apparently going to be there this spring. So it's an interesting collection.
When Alfonso Soriano came up the first time, I was like,
one of my favorites.
Yeah, the way he swung the bat and the contact and like the rosin that would go off the bat, I was like, this guy is going to be the best player in the world. And I always wanted him to end up on the Mets somehow, somehow during his prime. It never ended up happening, and he never really became the star he should have. But when he was first in the league, he was electric.
Man. Raw power.
It was crazy.
He's not a big man.
Yeah.
He was always jacked. He was always lean. He had the mustache going.
He was wiry, but like he wasn't, you know, if you looked at him, you wouldn't have thought, you know, 40 home run power. But he just had explosiveness when he squared one up.
Very rarely you see a guy swing like that.
Yeah.
Very 100%.
Rarely. All right, let's get to moment of the day, which, you know, Boomer made the point recently that I always involve myself in them, and I kind of pushed back on that. Second. Well, Boomer gets, I think he mistakes me sometimes with other fill-in update guys. We all get kind of put in the same folder, you know? So sometimes the accusations aren't accurate, but that's okay. In any event, Gio was talking to me about whether I was a hockey snob or not, and you were making the comparison about yourself watching the golf yesterday and the Genesis, and we got Willie involved, and it was lots of fun.
I enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing. Like, I didn't, like, pull over someone who doesn't like golf and likes, like, football, college football better, and be like, what are you paying attention to that for? Do you see how Maverick McNeely got out of the sand trap? What are you, nuts? Why are you wasting your time watching this other stuff? Like, you're missing out, man.
I don't do that either. I put it on for a little bit because my boys were busy playing stuff. Mm-hmm. And my soon-to-be 9-year-old sits down to have lunch at the kitchen table. And he's like, why do you like watching golf? I'm like, well, I like the sport, you know. And he's like, it's so boring, though. So I was like, okay, we'll turn it off. Like, I didn't, you know, force him to sit and watch it.
Well, that's your problem right there. You tell him to shut his mouth, daddy's here.
Well, I could, but I get it. I understand, like Gio just said. Like, I can understand where for most people,
CeeLo's not a shut his mouth, daddy's here type of guy.
Trust me, I can.
I'm going to tuck my pus-filled tail between my legs.
I know that's how might be how I'm perceived around here. But at home, I crack the whip, man. Physically. Not literally or physically, you know, figuratively, just to make sure that's clear.
But like,
in today's day and age, you know, careful now.
I will say, too, like when you...
Child services would be showing up.
Right. that would be the shock of all time.
Oh, man. You talk about
you,
headlock.
You got locked up for child abuse.
With your fingers taped?
Yeah. Right. Might not have been able to slip the cuffs on with all the tape and the band-aids and everything. I don't know.
Oh man, you so you that is so funny. Like, yeah, I cracked the whip at home. That's right. Yeah. I beat these kids into oblivion.
Right.
I'm just figuring.
He backpedaled the hell out of that one.
Adrian Peterson's flashing in my mind the switch with his kid.
That's aggressive.
So you know, when I say crack the whip, it's got to be careful. Make sure I'm not making the wrong point over the airwaves.
That's you're all. Good. I think you're all right.
You're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's see how I can if I can word this properly. So, your level of celebrity now, what is the lowest level of crime that you could be involved in that TMZ would report on you?
Oh, my level of celebrity?
Yeah. So think for example,
okay,
a guy who LeBron James gets a speeding ticket. Sure. He's on TMZ Sports.
Facts. Right?
So think about now, you know, you, where you're at, your level of celebrity playing in the NFL, what's the lowest crime that you could commit that someone would think, ooh, that's interesting, I'm going to write about that?
Oh, I think me, if I got in a fist fight with an Edelman's truck driver.
Okay, fist fight. So you think assault would be the thing?
Yeah, by far. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you think you get into a fight somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
TMZ Sports is picking that up.
Yeah,
former NFL lineman Willie Colon.
Yeah, fights. Got caught throwing hot dogs outside of Grace Papaya. Lost his shirt in a fight. That's right. TMZ worthy.
All right.
Right, Al? Stop looking at me that.
This is something Al could actually answer, I think, because he deals with headlines all the time.
Yeah, I feel like something low level that wouldn't even be a crime per se, but if a neighbor complained about him.
You would think that low.
To the police.
Neighbor complaint, you
Yeah,
think.
Because it'd be and then the neighbor went to the newspaper, whatever, and was like, this guy.
Something I caught him urinating, something like that.
No, no, like you did something that he perceived
as a
was
crime.
Not good. Yeah, maybe that just goes against neighborhood rules. You put a fence up that was too high.
Oh, leave your garbage cans in front of your house when they should be in the back.
Right, you leave them out on a windy day like today. All of a sudden, you're littering because your recyclables are all over the neighborhood.
I can see you being a president of a HOA.
Yeah.
He's trying to be, I think. Aren't you on the board or something?
I was. I did have to resign my position.
Why? Why?
Because.
Took the job a little too serious?
No, here's the problem with any of these neighborhoods that have rules, they're not enforceable. So I'm not, don't want to be a part of that.
Oh, so you resigned on your own.
Yeah.
Reconnaissance.
Because there's not. Because
you're the law.
Well, I'm saying anybody that lives in a neighborhood with an HOA, homeowners association.
I get that.
They're really suggestions. You can't. There's nothing
People write tickets and fines. You can get fined for sure.
There's nothing you can do about it. But
no, I know this for a fact. When I owned my townhouse in Pittsburgh, I didn't adhere to a lot of things, and they would write you a fine.
And you don't pay it, then what?
Well, if you didn't pay, it goes against your credit for sure.
Yeah, I just don't think there's no power. Like if I live,
what do you want, an execution?
No, I'm saying there's no if I move into a place, a condo that has no dogs allowed.
Sure.
And I get a dog.
Okay.
No, that's not against the law to have a dog.
There's but they will write you a significant amount of fines.
And I don't pay it. You have to take me to court.
Correct.
And none of those places ever want to go to
court.
And
they can eventually kick you out.
I'd take years. I'd be ready to move. I just don't think they're enforceable rules. We think they are.
Like getting a parking ticket in some town that you're never going to go back to?
No, because that is that's an enforceable fine. Like you could get arrested for not paying your parking tickets.
Could you? Like in a town parking?
Yeah, you definitely could.
Like in a different, let's say I go to New Jersey.
Yeah, if you're in Minutia, Wisconsin and you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get a parking ticket in that town, like they could hold that against me if I get pulled over in Suffolk County?
100%.
But nobody would. Though
it'll haunt you.
No, it forever. Will not.
Yes, it will. Al's
no way.
You want that new house? It'll pop up.
No way.
Remember that time you was riding your Jeep Cherokee with your best friend?
You know what is funny about that? But this is extreme. So I was selling a house to a guy who had a common name, Mike something, whatever.
Smith.
So they end up finding this one guy who lived in the same town as the guy I was selling the house to. Had 96 unpaid red light tickets. So they tell me, thinking that's him, 96? There's no way this, there's 96. And
at
they
that point, that's a, I mean, that's an addiction.
Totally.
You're going to need a red light.
Right. You really got to be pissed off with those lights. But they told me, there's no way the sale's going to go through because he's got thousands and thousands of dollars that he's going to have to pay. And it ended up not being him. It ended up being somebody else with the same name. Insane. I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah, it's crazy.
Al, the fact that you tapped out of your own board because you felt like it would, they weren't.
Well, in order to enforce the rules, you got
to
take people to court, and no one wants to go to court.
So you just said, I'm done.
I say, I can't. I don't want to be on the thumb something if we're not enforcing the rules. But I realize you can enforce the rules. I really don't think you can.
I mean, it's just disturbing that you felt like you wanted to crank it up a notch.
Right.
Like you felt like the standard wasn't the standard. That you,
correct.
You feel like there should have been like some stonings a part of this.
No, just either they're enforceable.
Like Deborah and 2K, I need to have a word with you. Like you was that type of guy. You wanted a stoning to happen.
He wanted more punishment.
He wanted more pain.
Right.
Al likes pain.
Well, if we have rules, I just want them enforced. That's all.
Because I'm wildly curious about this. I feel like you kept your own track record on who was committing these violations outside of your job. Like you saw like Deborah from 2K, you're like, no.
Not here. In a previous condo I lived in for sure. And that's how I realized they're just suggestions. They're not real rules. They're suggestions. Hey, we would appreciate if you lived here, you did this. But they're not. Unless you're breaking a town law or a town rule, that's not enforceable.
So you had a hit list, Al. Yes.
No, I just want the rules enforced, the bylaws. I want the bylaws enforced.
Yeah, he's not, and I'll speak for him, and I think he'll agree. He's not targeting specific people. He just is a guy who is a rule person. He's a rule follower.
I get that. My wife is like that. I think that's why we kind of get along, because I'm anti-law. I'm all about anarchy. My wife is not. She is by the book. It even, like, that's the biggest problem with us right now.
Yeah, so Al gave you a huge compliment that got lost in this whole thing.
I'm sorry.
He thinks you are famous enough that if a neighbor complained about you, it could end up on TMZ Sports. I disagree with that. I don't think
I've quite thrown, that I've thrown some parties where I thought I was going to make the news.
Recently?
No. From wow. Just the loud noise. And
good thing you don't live next to Al.
Oh, if I lived next to Al, I would have to bury him underneath my chicken coop because I know it would be a problem.
Sound ordinance.
Take you to court.
Yeah.
You've got a chicken coop?
I lost two chickens.
Oh, you did?
One due to heart failure.
Oh. So they're gone now? You don't have any more chickens?
No, I buried them in the backyard.
Heart failure? What, you did an autopsy?
I had a vet. It was okay. Dealing with some heart issues.
And the other one died out of sadness?
Missed the other one.
Yeah.
Took the plunge. Yeah.
Like Joe Paterno died of a broken heart.
I had two peacocks. The foxes got in there.
So. I was going to say, if you had that chicken coop and you had eggs.
I did have eggs.
We'd have a conversation right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
eggs. Then I have to worry about Al reporting me because I'm selling my eggs.
Yeah, do you have a
it's
license?
It's none of your damn business, Al. How about that?
You have a food license.
Just close the curtains and let me push these eggs out of here.
You know that's happening right now.
Oh, no question.
Oh, you know people are paying.
Al would have like four news cameras outside of my house.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be looking through the curtains like this. Got him.
Would he end up on TMZ for selling his eggs?
Oh, for sure.
You think so? With the price of eggs now? Absolutely.
Yeah. With a definitely topical. Yeah. Former right. NFL right. lineman, Willie Colon. Bootleg.
I know,
egg
and I'll
salesman.
Be in a clink, and I'll have a whole testimony about how I've run this illegal egg ring in my backyard.
It all started. Boomer took a day off. Willie came in, started talking about his right. life. Lo and behold. All right. Brian's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, working hard on the show today. Eddie Scazzeri, Al Dukes, CeeLo in for Jerry, Willie in for Boomer. We'll do it again tomorrow, 5 a.m. at the warm up show, then roll back together at 6. You good to come in tomorrow? You going to be all right?
Can't wait.
All right. Very good. We will see you then. You got BT and Sal coming up next. We got Evan and Tiki at 2 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Penis boobs, penis boobs, penis boobs, penis boobs.
Right.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.